The text appointed for this day is recorded in the third chapter of Romans, beginning at the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hope that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
While preparing this sermon, I read the other day an article quoting the Anglican theologian and author of many New Testament commentaries, Leon Morris. He said of Romans chapter 3, especially verses 21 through 31, that it is probably the most important paragraph ever written. Well, no pressure on the preacher this morning, huh? So I consulted one of our sharper theologians here at the International Center, and I told him what Leon Morris said, it is probably the most important paragraph ever written. And he humorously responded, well, then you shouldn't be preaching today. Obviously, there is a mistake in the preaching lineup, and you should not be preaching at all on this text. So I took some of the commentaries. I looked at them, read them. This text is very important to me. This text is very important to all of us. And so I came back to him later, and I said, did you know that the just shall live by faith? Did you? And he said, see, that's the problem. He said, guys like you read this, you launch a reformation. What he told me. When Luther came on the scene, he began to preach, began to teach and proclaim these words, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But it wasn't the first time that this was proclaimed. It wasn't a new teaching that we are justified by faith. If you look at the book of Romans, Paul wrote this in 55 AD. That's a couple of centuries ago. The prophet Habakkuk is sourced by the apostle. As a matter of fact, the apostle quotes and alludes to the Old Testament 57 times, mostly to relate to that we live as just through faith. So this justification by faith is not a hidden doctrine. It's not buried deep. Great fathers of the church have always called this great teaching to mind. It was Jerome who wrote Deus ex sola fide justificat, that God saves by faith alone. 1,300 years ago, before Luther, Clement of Rome wrote, we also being called through God's will in Christ Jesus are not justified through ourselves, neither through our own wisdom or understanding or piety or works, which we have done in holiness of heart, but through faith. Before we arrive at the famous earth-shattering and beautiful, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, it is of paramount importance for you, the individual, the beautiful and redeemed, to understand this verse through the earlier verses of Paul in Romans chapter 3. So Romans chapter 3, 22 through 24. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is a personally important verse because it's about you and it is for you. Paul lays out where we are without the love of Christ Jesus on the cross, the before part. It's ugly and painful to see. Maybe it's safe to hide behind the pages of a historical hermeneutics and not acknowledge that we are indeed poor, miserable sinners. It is innocuous to cower behind the pages of theologians rather than acknowledge our desperate plea, like the father of the child the father of a child possessed by a demon, for the man cried out to Jesus, "Help thou my unbelief." Because this is so personal, I would like to approach this beautiful passage in a particular way, and I'll repeat it again. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In the culture of the military, in the United States Army, the phrase "to fall short" resonates. And it resonates with concepts of embarrassment, shame, physical pain, fear, and death itself. To fall short means you are a failure. And when you fail a military course, whether it's basic training, air assault school, airborne school, you fall short, below standard. You're dropped from the course, you're kicked out, and in the Army term, you do what's called the duffel bag drag. That is, your head's hung low, you leave the training area as a walking catastrophe. When you return to your unit, it doesn't stop there. You shamefully sit down with your immediate supervisor. A warning letter of your bad performance is composed, and multiple copies are signed and filed. The document, the letter, reads about your poor performance and how it is not to be tolerated and that it won't happen again. It's a lot like rubbing salt in a wound. The letter can only be removed, that is, expunged, if you go back and pass the course that you failed. Now, to fall short in the military gets worse, missing the mark. While on an airborne operation as an airborne chaplain, I was also the ranking officer on an aircraft, and I was given the honor to jump first out of a C-130, followed by 63 of my closest friends, fellow airborne soldiers. While the pilot was flying, he accidentally moved by 100 meters, ever so slight for a pilot. And while he shifted, he also moved way too fast. And as a result, being the number one jumper, I missed the drop zone. I landed very hard, knocked the wind out of me, and banged my knees. I'm reminded of that fall short incident when there's high humidity on a cold winter morning. But the most frightening fall short for a soldier is when our weapons fall short. The devastation is horrible, terrible, and awful. I have conducted ministry to soldiers with missing limbs on the battlefields of Iraq and at Walter Reed Army Medical Center because the ordnance fell short. I've seen the devastation of an artillery round that fell short and hit a line of soldiers waiting for chow in the morning. It's graphic, it's horrible, and it's terrifying. When the Apostle Paul calls to us in verse 22 and 23 concerning all fall short, it reminds you of where you are without the love of Christ Jesus. Shamed, embarrassed, wounded, dead. This is where we are without the God in Christ Jesus. But look at what the redemption on the cross has bought. Look at how through Christ alone we are transformed, and we receive this through faith. So we move from shamed to honored, from embarrassed to emboldened, from wounded to healed, from dead to alive. All of this is accomplished through Christ and received by faith. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. And as Paul says, we dare not boast. This is given freely. Although our salvation is deeply personal, it applies to all of humanity. We are called from fall short to redeemed. This passage in Romans 3 is indeed a wonderful paragraph. We are thankful to our God for the gift of justification. We're thankful to the prophets of old and the great fathers of the church who continue to teach this ever-important work of Christ. We are blessed that God raises up men like Luther to call the church back to the Lord Christ. This may be the most important paragraph in human history ever written, topped only by your name written in the book of life because of the blood of the Lamb. We are justified by faith. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.